A hysterical fit of coughing overtakes me. "Are you allergic to something?" Marcel asks. Horrified, I lower my eyes to my plate, which I have cleaned. Did anything contain peanut sauce? Why the hell didn't I pay any attention? Nodding, I manage to rasp out, "Peanut, EpiPen, backpack?" Marcel jumps to his feet. There is a commotion all around me, but my eyes are fuzzy, burning from the effort of trying to breathe. My throat is closing up again. That's when I realize I don't have my backpack with me. I think I left it with the group outside. Oh, God, I can feel my tongue swelling. My lips, too, I think. Air. I need air. But the more I try to breathe, the less air seems to reach my lungs. Heaving gasps reach my ears, and panic kicks in when I realize they belong to me. A sharp sting in my outer thigh alerts me that someone's using an EpiPen. Thank goodness.
"I'm taking her to the hospital," a familiar voice says.
Daniel. He appears in my field of vision, which is very blurred. "No hospital," I manage to slur. "Benadryl." The next few minutes pass in a haze. Someone forces me to swallow a liquid, probably Benadryl, and then I'm lifted from my seat, warm, strong arms carrying me. I close my eyes because my vision is so blurry that the effort to make out my surroundings makes me dizzy. When I blink them open again, I'm lying on a bed, and Daniel is shoving more Benadryl into my mouth. Laying my head on the pillow, I close my eyes again, focusing on my breath, which slowly returns to normal. My throat isn't itching anymore. Tongue appears to be normal-sized, too. I don't know how much time passes before I hear Daniel whisper,
"Caroline, let me take you to a hospital."
I shake my head, which turns out to be a big mistake. It makes me even dizzier. "No, I'm fine. I can breathe normally. I need to get back to the group."
"You're not going anywhere like this. They already left anyway."
I blink my eyes open. "What? When?"
"An hour ago."
"Shit! I've been out of it for an hour. I need to..."
"Caroline, relax. Marcel and Honor are with Carla and the kids. They'll manage fine. You can't go out right now. Rest for a while. You can always head out later."
"Okay. Truthfully, I'm not up to boarding on a boat. Hell, I'm not even up to getting out of this bed."
"How do you feel?"
"Very tired. A bit dizzy." Daniel leans forward until his face is level with mine, his chest pressing to my side.
"Bad sign."
"Nah, just side effects of Benadryl." He rubs a hand up and down my arm. The gesture is so tender, I swear my heart bursts with hope. Oh, no. No, no. I have a hard time keeping myself in check around him even when I'm sober, but when I'm high on Benadryl...
"Are you sure you're okay?"
I nod, but Daniel still seems unconvinced. He scoots even closer to me until his chest squishes the side of my right boob. I can feel the ridges of his trained abs pressing against the length of my arm. "Watch it, Daniel. Pressing the deliciousness that is your body against an undersexed woman is a dangerous endeavor." His sharp intake of breath alerts me that my words are so far beyond inappropriate, they deserve a category of their own. "This is the Benadryl talking, by the way." "Ah, brilliant. Brilliant. I couldn't have found a better scapegoat if I tried. Whatever happens while I'm under its influence cannot be held against me. Considering I'm seeing Daniel as if there's a foggy window between us, I'm not even making this up."
"Don't worry about anything, okay? The kids are in good hands. Honor and Marcel are pros."
"He asked me out," I find myself saying. "At breakfast, he asked me out."
"Marcel?"
"Yeah."
"What did you say?"
I blink twice, trying to clear my vision. No such luck. Why does it matter? Is it my imagination, or has Daniel gone rigid next to me?
"Don't go out with him. Please. I know I have no right, but please don't go out with an employee of mine."
He's gone very still.
I'm close to them. And when we go out after work, they bring their spouses or significant others, and I couldn't watch you with him. My heart hammers so wildly, I feel like it will jump out of my chest any second now. My mind spins, and it's not just from the Benadryl. At least I don't think so. My vision is so foggy, I can't see past the tip of my nose, but my mind is clear. I'm not imagining this, or projecting. First, he took care of my father, now this. Gathering my courage around me, I ask in a small voice, "You care?" "Of course I care. I've always cared." He cradles me in his arms, and I feel something warm on my forehead. His lips. Then sleep pulls me under.
Chapter 6. Daniel. Pushing myself on an elbow, I watch her drift to sleep. Her breathing pattern seems normal, but I'm still worried. She scared me down in the restaurant, the way she slurred her words, lost her balance. She shifts her position, tossing and turning until her head is dangling off the pillow at such a weird angle, she'll get a neck strain if she sleeps like that. As carefully as possible, I shove the pillow back under her head, but then Caroline shifts again, turning on one side, grabbing my hand and placing it between the pillow and her head. I smile. She used to do this all the time when we were together, monopolize my hand, then my entire body, sleeping on me, claiming I was the best pillow. I gladly endured the hardship of her climbing me in her sleep. I'd loved feeling her soft breath on my skin. When she wasn't hogging me, she was thrashing in bed. She'd been a messy sleeper. I wonder if she still is. I contemplate the best way to free my hand without waking her, but when she sighs and lays a hand on my wrist, I give up. I'll stay just a little longer. Just a few more seconds. She shifts even closer to me. I can't move away because I'm right on the edge of the bed. A whiff of her perfume reaches me, something floral, but not jasmine, which was what she'd worn when we were together. But jasmine or no jasmine, she's still the same sweet woman I fell for in college. She's still the one person who spends as much time hovering around her family as I do around mine. She still loves the same simple things she did then. Great food, great books. I bet she still binge-watches TV shows in the evenings. Seeing her in my bed brings back so many memories. A truth I haven't allowed myself to think hits me hard. I miss her. But the only sensible thing to do at the moment is to climb out of this bed, which I do, extracting my hand from under her head carefully. Standing at the end of the bed, I ponder what to do next. I knew she was allergic to peanuts, but I haven't seen the allergy in action before on her. She looks all right, but I don't want to leave her unsupervised. What if she gets worse? I debate for all of 2 seconds before reaching a decision. I step out of the room to call Honor and Marcel and inform them of the next steps.
"Wait, I'll put you on loudspeaker so Marcel can hear you too," Honor says. "How is Caroline feeling?"
"Better, but she's asleep, so she won't join you for now, at least." "No problem," Marcel says. I grip the phone harder, remembering he had the guts to ask her out. "I'm staying with her until she wakes up. If that doesn't happen until the next clients arrive, you take care of everything." There is silence for a few seconds, and then Honor asks hesitantly,
"Are you sure?"
"They're looking forward to meeting you," Marcel puts in. "Then do your best to represent me." My tone allows for no argument, and none comes. Excellent. I'm not in the mood for negotiations. "Sure, call us if you or Caroline needs anything," Marcel adds. I barely keep myself from lashing at Marcel. Damn it, I have no right to be jealous. "Keep me posted." I click off and return to the room. I smile at the sight of Caroline on her belly, spread-eagled. She messed up half the bed in the span of minutes. I have my laptop here, but the sound of my clicking on the keyboard could wake her up. Sitting in the armchair, I pull out my smartphone and start typing on the touchscreen, which makes no sound at all. Halfway through answering my emails, I come across one that chills me. Subject: how the hell did this happen? Message: this was my daughter's birthday. I don't want her exposed to the fucking paparazzi, and you promised 100% privacy. I'm never giving you my business again. Inside the email are leaked photographs from the event I hosted yesterday for the drummer of a rock band. They made it onto all the major gossip sites. I lean back in the armchair, dragging a hand down my face. My unique selling proposition for my famous clients is 100% privacy. When it comes to the media, I've had years to cut my teeth. Right after college, I did small consultancy projects, but I spent a lot of time enjoying the fame the Bennett name brought me, even though I hadn't earned a lick of it. I'm not proud of it. Bennett Enterprises was such a draw for the media that the press hadn't minded which Bennett they got a snapshot of. Sebastian, Logan, and Pippa, and even Christopher and Max, who joined the company later, stayed out of the limelight. But Blake and I were young, and the pull was far too tempting for both of us. Eventually, the press wasn't satisfied with reporting on the success of Bennett Enterprises. They started digging for dirt, anything to tear my siblings down from the pedestal. That was when Blake and I pulled out of the limelight. But when the media gets no stories, they fabricate them. Blake and I made it a point to kill fake stories before they hit the media. Our siblings had enough on their hands. They didn't have to deal with this kind of crap, too. We were successful most of the time, and the exercise brought me invaluable media contacts. Something good came out of that chaotic time. In my business, I had my first famous clients via the contacts I made in those years when I rubbed elbows with models, TV presenters, even actors and actresses. I have enough experience with the press to know how to avoid it and offer utmost privacy. Word of mouth from satisfied clients brings me an insane amount of business. Negative word of mouth can just as well disrupt everything. And I hate not delivering on my promise. This was a kid's 10th birthday, for God's sake. The client has every right to be livid. If this had been one of my nieces or nephews, I'd be livid too. How did these photos leak? There were no paparazzi inside the venue, and I made sure the surroundings were clear as well. The guests were close friends only, and those know the drill. My mind is spinning as I set to work and do some damage control. I check on Caroline periodically, and chuckle every time, because she tosses and turns in the strangest positions. She's exactly as messy a sleeper as I remember. My bed will smell like her tonight. That's something to look forward to.
Chapter 7. Caroline. The room is dark when I wake up, with a small beacon of light at the far end. Pushing myself up on my elbows, I pat the nightstand until I find the light switch for the lamp and flick it on.
You're up.
The beacon of light was Daniel's phone. He's sitting in the armchair at the foot of the bed, watching me with a smile. My backpack is on the floor next to him. Yeah. My voice is rough, the inside of my mouth gummy. What time is it?
A little past 10.
Wow. I slept the entire day?
You woke up in between, but fell right back asleep.
Something in his stiff position clues me in that he's been sitting for a long while. Were you here the entire time?
Yeah. I was afraid you'd get worse.
And cue the swooning. But your activity this evening?
Marcel and Honor took care of it. Don't worry about it. You're more important.
Oh, I'm not equipped to deal with this level of swooning right after getting up. The kids and Carla.
Left for San Francisco this afternoon on the bus. The hotel has a shuttle service. I can arrange that for you. I'd drive you myself, but I'm staying here tonight. I've got another group here tomorrow.
I nod, still feeling out of sorts. I need a shower first. Some food would also be good.
You can order room service.
Did you have dinner? I ask. If he's been here the entire time, I guess he didn't.
No.
I swallow, grabbing the menu for room service from the nightstand, perusing it. Usually, purely as a defense mechanism, I would avoid being alone for too long with Daniel. That goes double, considering we're in a hotel room. Also, I have a feeling I said some things I shouldn't have before falling asleep. But the man carried me to my room and forfeited his day and clients for me, so the least I can do is buy him dinner. As soon as I shower, I'll be perfectly equipped to deal with his charm. What do you want? I ask.
Do they have pizza?
They do. Capricciosa?
Yeah.
I can practically hear the smile in his voice. I still remember his favorite. Without glancing his way, I dial room service, ordering pizza for both of us.
How are you feeling?
Daniel asks after I hang up. Perfect. I can't believe I was so stupid, not paying attention to the food. I'm sorry you wasted your day on me, though. And I've rumpled your bed.
You always were a messy sleeper, hogging all the space.
The affliction got worse with age, I'm afraid. I laugh nervously, racking my mind for another topic, and end up rambling about which whales the kids might have seen until there is a knock at the door. Wow, that was fast. Several minutes later, Daniel and I are sitting at the edge of the bed, practically inhaling our food. Even though it's still so hot, I can't feel the roof of my mouth after the first few bites. Daniel is apparently immune to the heat, because he's already finished his pizza and is currently rumbling through the minibar, returning with two cans of Coke. I immediately take a swig from mine, cooling my mouth, pizza slice still in one hand. I barely swallow the cool liquid when Daniel takes a mouthful from my slice. Setting my Coke on the floor, I point a warning finger at him. You ate your own pizza, no stealing mine.
Or what?
Daniel fixes me with his dark eyes. His molten gaze is a little playful, a lot intense. I avert my gaze because I've never been able to think straight when he looked at me like that. I'll cook up an appropriate revenge plan just as soon as I finish my pizza so you can't use it as leverage.
Carried you all the way from the restaurant up here. I deserve at least one slice for the effort.
I tap my chin, pretending to be thinking hard. All the while, my heart thumps erratically in my chest because Daniel's moved so close to me that I can feel the warmth of his body. And you watched me for hours. You deserve a bonus. Another half slice. He laughs throatily. And every shaky breath of his lands on my cheekbone. That's how close he is.
I thought you'd put up more of a fight. It's more fun stealing it.
Fine. Suit yourself. You're not getting anything. I half expect him to fight me for it. Instead, Daniel simply watches me. I focus on my food as heat rises to my cheeks, intensifying by the second. When I can't bear it anymore, I chance a glance at him. Yep, he's still watching me. Drawing in a deep breath, I focus on the last slice. What on earth is wrong with me tonight? I seem to be even more responsive to all things Daniel than usual, and I can't blame it on the lingering effects of Benadryl. I'm usually better at propping up my defenses, but how am I supposed to keep them in place when he's been shooting holes in them the entire day? Truth be told, he shot the first hole when he told me he's been stopping by to watch soccer games with Dad. It's only been getting bigger since. I'm going to shower, I announce, once I swallow the last bit, rising from the bed.
Sure. There are towels in the bathroom.
The warm spray of the water is soothing, as is the ginger-scented shower gel, which I rub vigorously into my skin before washing it off. Perching one foot at the edge of the tub, I intend to hop off on the other side. Instead, the foot I'm standing on slides to one side. Ah! I collapse on the floor of the bathtub, my left leg and arm squished underneath me, but I narrowly manage to avoid bumping my head, too. The door swings open, and next second, "Get out! I'm naked!" I exclaim at the same time Daniel asks,
"What happened? Are you hurt?"
"I slipped. I'm fine. Get out." Except I'm not fine. When I try to push myself up, I discover my left leg hurts too much to be reliable and nearly collapse again. Daniel catches me mid-fall. Hooking an arm around my waist, he hoists me up against him. My entire body is shaking. After about 10 seconds or so, I become aware that I'm wet, naked, and both my breasts are pressing against his chest. I'm naked, I repeat, not daring to look up at him.
I've seen it all before.
You're not helping, I inform him on a groan.
Can you stand on your foot?
I test it out, shifting my weight onto it. It hurts less than before, but still enough for me to doubt its reliability. I don't think so.
Okay, up you go.
He makes a motion as if to lower himself and hoist me up, and panic flares inside me. Daniel, no. I mean, can you give me a towel first, please? Smiling, he reaches to the rack, still holding my hand firmly. When he hands me the towel, I wrap it around me as quickly as I can. Daniel makes no effort to look away the entire time, his gaze not just appraising, but downright hungry. Despite the mortification and the throbbing leg, pride surges inside me, because priorities. Unable to help myself, I drink him in, too. I soaked the front of his shirt, so the sinewy lines and ridges of his abdomen are clearly visible. Good God, his six-pack is as delicious as ever, not to mention the V-shaped dents leading down to his jeans. Biting down on my lips, I raise my gaze, which crisscrosses with Daniel's. Heat jolts through me, and an undercurrent of awareness passes between us. Wordlessly, Daniel picks me up, carrying me to the bedroom. How did I end up in his arms for the second time today? After breakfast, I was too sick to take it all in. But now? Oh my, I am making up for that. Every nerve ending where my bare skin presses against Daniel is perking up. The bits covered by the towel aren't faring much better. A light shudder passes through me when Daniel lays me on the bed. To my dismay, he sits on the edge, pulling my left ankle in his lap, inspecting it.
Does it hurt?
No. I flex it a little, testing it out. Definitely no sprain, but I'm going to have bruises tomorrow all over my left side. I think you bring me bad luck. I seem to have all sorts of accidents when I'm around you. First, I nearly sprained my ankle at Blake and Clara's wedding, and today,
you scared 10 years off my life today.
Daniel shakes his head, putting my foot back on the mattress. He's frowning as he shifts his weight until he sits right next to my hips. I don't like that frown one bit, but then I remember Daniel isn't mine to make happy. Still, I can lighten up the situation. Now that you mention it, I can see 2 white hairs. Weren't there before. Must have sprouted while I was asleep. Reaching out, I'm aiming to touch a random spot on his scalp, but somehow end up running my hand through his hair. Damn it. He's not mine to touch. Why do I keep forgetting this? My heart thumps wildly when I realize Daniel's leaning into my hand as if he's been yearning for my touch as much as I've yearned for his. Has he missed me just as much? I barely formulate the thought when he grabs my hand, kissing the inside of my wrist. I feel the contact reverberate through my entire body until my center is on fire. Goosebumps erupt everywhere on my skin, and I have no way to hide them. Daniel's pupils dilate. I'm not the only one who is aroused.
You look even more beautiful than I remember, Caroline.
I shake my head. I've put on weight.
You're perfect. You're...
Daniel doesn't finish the sentence. Instead, he leans over, sealing his lips against mine. Oh, God, his lips. They're so warm and feel so, so good against mine that I fist his shirt without thinking, pulling him even closer, scooting over to one side, making space for him.
Chapter 8. Daniel. She sighs against my mouth, and it's as if my brain short-circuits, leaving only one thought to stand out. I want this woman. I need her. Pulling away, I bring her hand to my lips again, kissing her knuckles, then the back of her hand, up her forearm. Goosebumps form where my lips touch her. She's as responsive to me as she's always been. I kiss up her arm, her bare shoulder, inching closer toward her neck. I pause in the act of feathering my lips over her clavicle, the tip of my nose nearly touching her neck. I wait, holding my breath, until she finally tilts her head up, giving me access. I lavish her neck with kisses, especially at the crease where her neck meets her shoulder. She shudders in my arms, fisting the pillow. That's still a sweet spot for her. I'm overcome by the primal need of touching and licking every morsel of her skin. Is her earlobe still a sweet spot? Would she still come just from feeling my tongue inside her and my thumb pressing on her clit? Her body has changed since we've last been together. In college, she'd been slender, but now her hips and ass are filled out. She's all luscious curves and firm muscle. I worshipped her shape then, and now I want to rediscover every inch of her skin, want to discover every new way in which I can bring her pleasure. I want to do so many things to her that one night will never be enough. Grazing her earlobe with my teeth, I skim my hand down her thigh, from the apex down to her knee, my fingers brushing the towel until I find bare skin. Instantly, she presses her thighs together, nestling my hand in the space just above her knees. I'm dying to touch her pussy, taste her, but I still have a long way to go until I'll be there. There is so much of Caroline to touch and enjoy. I inch with my mouth from her earlobe down to her cheek, stopping when the corners of our lips touch. She's still holding my hand hostage between her legs, and as I rub my middle finger in a slight circular motion on the skin, I feel her break out into goosebumps again. On her legs, her arms. If I touched her pussy now, she'd have goosebumps there, too. The thought sends a shot from my balls right to the tip. My fingers instantly curl, digging into her skin. Caroline exhales sharply. I've been so lost in rediscovering her that I haven't been paying attention to her fingers unbuttoning my shirt. I stop any movement for a second, my hand hovering over her thigh, my lips at the corner of her mouth. I just want to feel her for a moment, bask in the knowledge that she's here with me, opening herself to me once more. Her scent overwhelms my senses, not her perfume, but the scent of her skin. It's just as I remember it. I can't hold back anymore. I capture her mouth. She parts her lips at the same time she opens her thighs in a silent invitation, and I'm so hard, the zipper of my jeans might burst. Without interrupting the kiss, I move us both until we're lying side by side on the bed, facing each other. Our pelvises are touching, but it's not enough. I need her skin on mine. I have to get us both naked. When I hook my thumb into the towel, Caroline stills. Her body is tight with tension. I kiss her deeper, coaxing her tongue into a wild dance. I kiss her until I feel the tension ebb away from her, shudders replacing it. And then she hooks her thumb alongside mine into the towel, and we unfasten it together. The fabric slips off her, leaving her completely naked. My shirt, jeans, and boxers go next. We're still both on our sides, facing each other when I palm one breast, twisting the nipple, and her whole body arches in response. Her hips bucking forward, her pussy slamming right into my bent leg. Oh, fuck me. She's dripping wet and coats my skin in her arousal, too. All my plans to prolong the foreplay fly out the window. I'm blind with need. Caroline, you're so sexy. So beautiful. I'm dying to be inside you. Oh, fuck. I have no condoms with me.
Don't worry. Just don't worry about it.
I inch so close to her until I can feel the skin of her pelvis on the length of my erection. She perches her upper leg on top of mine. Gripping myself at the base, I rub the tip just above her navel, then slide it farther down to her pubic bone, and lower still, pressing it against her clit. She grazes my chest with her nails. Look at me. She lifts her gaze just as I position myself at her entrance and slide inside her.
This feels so good. So good,
she chants. Gripping the back of her head, I bring her closer until our foreheads touch. Say my name.
Daniel.
Say it the way you used to.
Dan.
Energy coils through me, a bolt of heat searing me from the point of our connection right to the nerve endings between my shoulder blades and the tips of my ears. She's so tight around me I can barely take it. This is everything. The scent of her skin mixing with the scent of her arousal, her breath on my lips. She opens up beautifully, thrusting her chest to me. The leg she hooked around me, clenching slightly. Leveling myself on my forearm, I kiss her, bracing my free hand on her hip. I can't pace myself anymore. I drive into her wildly, using my hand to steady her, to pull her up and down my cock. She squeezes me so good and so tight. Pulling out slowly, I slam against her again, filling her up. But I know I can go even deeper. First, I have to make sure she's at that point, too. Caroline, can you take me deeper? She nods, and I hook my elbow under the knee of the leg she swung around me, lifting it higher, pushing it toward her torso. As the angle changes, I pull out, then slam back in, taking her so deep that my balls slap against her ass crack. I nearly black out at the intensity of the feeling.
Oh, God, I forgot how this feels.
She bites her bottom lip as her face contorts, pleasure etched on every feature. That's it, beautiful. Give me your pleasure. All of it. Touch yourself while I'm inside you. She doesn't hesitate and lowers her hand. I look between us, watching myself slide in and out of her while she circles her clit. I increase the rhythm when she starts clenching and spasming around me, and then go completely still inside her as she explodes. The muscles in the leg I'm pressing up to her torso string tight. She's so snug around me, it makes my eyes roll into my head. I nearly climax too, but I hold it off, watching her, feeling her cum all around me. While she's still quivering, I pull out of her.
Caroline, I can't ground myself, hard as I try. Just as I think I can ride out my orgasm, another wave of pleasure hits. My eyes are unfocused, so I feel rather than see what happens next. Daniel pushes me on my back, shifting his weight on top of me. I part my thighs, cradling him between them, but he doesn't enter me again. Instead, he kisses me, slowly and gently, his hands finding mine at the side of my head, and he intertwines our fingers. I want to soak up every detail about this moment, the heat radiating from his skin, the way his body trembles lightly. I feel his hard erection pressed between our bodies. His control is hanging on a very thin thread. I'm going to make him lose it. Dan, I whisper softly when he pulls away. He's everywhere. His lips are on my breasts, teeth grazing my nipples, tongue swirling around the areola. His palms glide up the sensitive skin on my arms, then drift down on my ribcage, my waist. His thighs are spreading mine apart. My body is tight with tension. My senses overwhelmed by everything he's doing to me. When he skims his fingers over my clit, as if the bundle of nerves is a harp, I nearly come again. Oh, God, Dan, I want you inside me. I need... But before I can make more demands, he turns me over on my stomach, kissing and touching my back as thoroughly as he did my front.
I want to make this last all night, and I don't want this night to end.
His confession stirs something deep inside me. His hot mouth flows down my spine, over one ass cheek. Then I feel him shift his weight, spread my legs wide apart, and lift me up on all fours. The mattress shifts again, and then I feel his hot breath caress one ass cheek. He gives me no warning. I have no way to brace myself. He plunges his tongue deep inside me, knocking the breath out of me. He's out just as fast, and then pulls my clit between his lips. I scream his name into the pillow. I'm not a screamer, but this... Oh, God, this is something else. I need... Oh, God, I need my release right away. Desperate for it, I touch myself the moment Daniel takes his lips away.
Oh, fuck, Caroline. You're sexy.
His control snaps the next second, and he slams into me, filling me up until I think he'll split me in two. My knees quiver, and then the quiver turns into a full-body shake from the intensity of a building orgasm. My calves are burning, muscles protesting. My knees give out.
With one powerful thrust, Daniel pushes me off my knees and flat on my stomach. Pinning me against the mattress, he intertwines our fingers and slides in and out of me relentlessly until we're both spent. Chapter 9. Caroline. You gave us a scare yesterday, Carla says the next morning. We're in the staff room preparing for the day. The kids will arrive any second now. I'm perfectly fine. Don't worry. Good as new. When did you get back to San Francisco? Late last night, with the hotel's shuttle service. Truthfully, I arrived this morning. I'm lucky I arrived in time at all. I woke up with a start at 6 o'clock in the morning and nearly had a panic attack when I realized Daniel was sleeping next to me and I'd be late for work. He was still sleeping soundly when I left the room. The hotel staff was kind enough to arrange my transport, but I still arrived at the school in the nick of time. Last night was reckless on so many levels that I can't even wrap my mind around it. The moment he kissed me, my common sense flew out of the window. Nothing existed except him. It was wild, unexpected, and my pulse spikes just remembering it. When the kids arrive, they bombard me with questions. Where were you yesterday? Why did you get sick? Are you going to be sick again? I spend more than half an hour calming them down, then distract them from the incident by asking them to tell me about their adventures. And while they talk my ear off, I can't help remembering my own adventure. Daniel pops in my mind, and then memories of last night rush in. The sinfully delicious touches, the bliss of feeling him inside me again, the way my heart thumped when he said he didn't want the night to end. Damn heart. It always longs for what it can't have. Or worse, for what it shouldn't want, no matter how perfect it felt to be in Daniel's arms again. It felt like home. Like I belonged there. But this was a one-time thing. A night of weakness. Nothing more. I can barely concentrate on our lesson. The life cycle of a butterfly. And during the first break, I walk into the staff room determined to do better for the rest of the day. Helen's already inside, motioning to my bag, which I forgot here. Well, am I not a complete scatterbrain today? Your phone rang a few times. Thanks. Walking over to my bag, I take out my phone. I have 2 missed calls from Daniel and a message. Daniel, sorry I slept like the dead. Didn't hear you leave. I'll be back in San Francisco in the afternoon. Can I take you out for a ristretto? Still your favorite coffee, right? My face instantly breaks into a smile. My heart skips a beat, and I'm tingling in the most sensitive places covered by my silk underwear. Yep, the whole package. All because he remembers my favorite coffee. We're both creatures of habit. When we're 80, his favorite pizza will probably still be capricciosa, and my favorite coffee, ristretto macchiato. And he remembers. The longer I linger on that thought, the more excitement builds inside me, filling me with an almost jittery energy. Caroline? Everything all right? Helen points to my hands. Oh, yeah. Had a strong coffee this morning. Are you sure you don't need to take the day off? Carla told me about what happened yesterday. No, I'm fine. The last thing I need is for Helen to think I can't do my job. She's the principal's daughter, and while she seems to like me well enough, I can't be too careful. Allergy or not, I forfeited my responsibilities yesterday. Okay. I head out in the yard, intending to stretch my legs, walk off some of this energy. I also need to eat my sandwich, or my stomach will start growling midway through the second lesson since I skipped breakfast. Halfway through eating my sandwich, I've almost calmed down completely. But then my phone rings, Daniel's name appearing on the screen. I'm tempted to mute it and call him back after my workday is over, but that wouldn't do much good. If I don't talk to him, I'll spend half my time wondering what he had to say. Besides, I'm a strong, independent woman. I will not fall back in love with Daniel over a hot night, or because he remembers my favorite coffee.
Sandwich in one hand, I lift the phone to my ear with the other. Hey, I greet him.
Hello, Caroline.
Ah, two words into the conversation and my skin is already humming. To my defense, my name in his mouth sounds just as sinful as it did last night.
You didn't reply to my text.
Ristretto is still my favorite, I say playfully, knowing full well this isn't the answer he was looking for. I'm just a chicken. Always have been. Between blaming my loose tongue yesterday on the Benadryl and my vagueness now, I'm taking my tendency to chicken out to a whole new level.
I want to take you out. For coffee. Or dinner.
We have after-school activities until 6, and I already have plans after.
We need to talk about last night.
What? I ask in alarm, accidentally brushing my sandwich against my top, smearing mayonnaise just over my left boob. Fantastic. Sighing, I carefully weigh my words. There's no need to talk about anything, Daniel.
I disagree.
I'm shocked, I mutter, and he chuckles. But I can't tonight. Really. Already have plans.
Tomorrow?
Well, damn, he's persistent. I have plans every evening after work this week.
What plans do you have on Saturday, birthday girl?
He remembers my birthday. Ironically, not so many. I'm having lunch with Dad, but we can meet in the evening. I can't ignore him forever, nor do I want to. At the latest, I'll see him at some Bennett event, and it's best to get the awkward out of the way before. Why did I have to complicate things and sleep with him? After our breakup, I pulled away from his family because the whole thing was too awkward. But after Mom died last year, I grew closer to Jenna Bennett, Dan's mom, again. I rekindled my friendship with Summer and Pippa. I don't want to give that up. And I want Daniel in my life, too, but in a safe way, in a platonic way.
Excellent. See you on Saturday, and look out for my gift.
You don't have to buy me anything, I say quickly, but my voice sounds unconvincing even to my own ears. I love presents, in any way, shape, and form.
Oh, I do. Making up for falling asleep and all that.
You're going to milk this for all it's worth, won't you?
You bet. Plus, I know how happy presents make you.
Oh, man. Here come the butterflies in my stomach. There might be a bit of toe curling involved, too. How on earth am I supposed to keep things platonic? Chapter 10. Caroline. On Saturday, I wake up with a smile on my face. My 31st birthday. Picking up my phone from the nightstand, my face breaks into a grin. I have a dozen unread messages from friends wishing me happy birthday. Niall is the first to call me. It's already lunchtime in Dublin.
Happy birthday, baby sis. What are your plans for today?
Lunch with Dad and dinner with Daniel.
Bennett?
Yeah.
You're not starting again with him, are you?
The disapproval rolls off his tongue like acid. Niall,
he's not good for you. Not what you need.
I roll over on one side in the bed, wondering why on earth I brought this up. I'm a grown woman, Niall. I can make my own decisions. But thank you for your concern.
He hurt you once.
Now I'm getting pissed. We were kids. We made mistakes. Did you know he helped Dad with the business plan and negotiating with the furniture supplier? A pause, and then...
I had no idea. Still doesn't mean he's good for you.
Stop it. You're ruining my birthday mojo. He laughs softly.
Sorry. It wasn't my intention. I'm about to make it up to you, though.
Aw, what did you get me as a present?
You're going to see it when you meet Dad. But I meant something else. Guess who will be in San Francisco in 2 weekends?
You're flying here? Niall, are you serious? Oh, my God. Oh, my God, did you tell Dad? I bet he was excited.
Didn't tell him yet.
How long are you staying?
Just for the weekend. I'm coming to a conference. They invited me as a speaker last minute.
Wow. Congratulations. I do my best to hide how gutted I am that he'll only be here for such a short time.
Oh, I just had the best idea. We can move the reopening party of the bookstore to that weekend so you can be here too.
Sure, I have a few hours on Saturday afternoon.
Can you stay for dinner, too?
Nah, I have to be with the other conference attendants for dinner.
Oh, okay. Would Sunday be better? Or Friday?
Schedule's too tight on those days with the flight and some keynote talks.
So we'll only see you for a few hours?
I pout like a baby, even though he can't see me. It's the best I can do. My schedule is insane.
A few hours is better than nothing, anyway. So happy to see you.
Me too. I have to go, sis. Happy birthday, again.
I grin as the call ends, excited to be seeing my brother in 2 weeks. It's been almost 9 months since I last saw him. At Mom's funeral. Today, of all days, I miss her fiercely. Jenna Bennett calls to wish me happy birthday just as I'm getting out of bed, and after talking to her for half an hour, I barely bring myself to end the call. Hour-long talks with her, every now and then, have become the norm in the past 9 months. I'm becoming a stage one clinger, and I really have to stop while I'm ahead. I'm not a kid, for God's sake. But is there an age at which people stop needing their mothers? Their advice? Their warmth? Their love? I hop in the shower, but stop midway, shampoo still in my hair when the doorbell rings. Did I order something online and forgot? After rinsing quickly, I step out, fasten a robe around myself, and head to the front door. I peek through the peephole and see a giant bouquet of roses.
Good morning. If you'll sign here, please.
The delivery man says when I swing the door open. I sign the sheet he's holding, then take the flowers back inside. There are 31 of them, and there is an envelope there, too. My fingers prickle with excitement as I open it. Inside is a birthday card. Dear Caroline, happy birthday. I have left my credit card at Macy's. Ask for Krista. It's my gift for you. Daniel. Holding the card to my chest, I do a happy dance in my living room, grinning ear to ear. Then I reread the card a few times to make sure I'm not imagining it. I can't believe him. But then again, Daniel always had his own style of doing things. Still, reining in my excitement, I pick up my phone, dialing his number. My insides warm just at the thought of hearing his voice. Other parts warm too, damn it. I pause just before pressing the last digit. Should we clear the air about what happened that night first?
Yeah, right.
No way am I bringing it up. It's too early in the morning to face that level of awkwardness. Biting the inside of my cheek, I resume dialing.
Morning, birthday girl.
Hi.
I take it you got the flowers?
Yes, and the card. But I can't possibly accept this gift, Daniel. It kills me to refuse this, but it's not right. A present would be one thing, but free rein with his credit card? That's the sort of thing a girlfriend would do, and I'm not his... anything. Common decency dictates that I can't accept it.
Oh, you will. I want you to accept it. Go wild, Caroline.
I lick my lips, pressing my free hand to my cheek, which suddenly feels on fire. Images of us together in the hotel bed sweep into my mind, of Daniel asking me to call him Dan, asking me if I could take him in deeper. Oh, shucks. My imagination escalated quickly, and he hasn't even been flirting. Clearing my throat, I try to gather my wits around me. Daniel, this is not...
Stop trying so hard to do what you think is right. You're dying to go shopping.
I can hear the smile in his voice, and my decency is melting away by the second. Why does he have to know me this well? I love shopping, but a teacher's salary requires a lot of self-restraint. I love my job, working with kids. I'm not good at much else, but I'm really good at this one thing. The slight downside is the salary, but I've built my life so I don't need a lot. For some, it would seem like a small or restrictive life, but I like it. I have a strict no-takeout policy, only eating out when the situation requires it. I often invite friends over instead of going out, and I cook for them. I only buy the clothes I need and try to keep to timeless pieces, jeans, little black dresses, so they won't go out of style quickly. Some things I even buy from thrift stores. There's an excellent one nearby, and I came across unexpected gems there. But what Daniel is offering is insane. I'll make one last attempt to dissuade him, just to have a clear conscience. It's just not right.
I already bought you some presents, so you'll have to pick them up anyway.
Wow.
Thought you might need extra convincing. Pick them up, and buy anything else you want.
What did you buy me? I ask, despite myself.
You'll see.
Okay. Energy courses through me as I pace the living room.
Have fun, and I'll see you tonight at 7.
We agreed on dinner in a restaurant in the Presidio to celebrate my birthday and talk about that night. But now I'm losing my nerve about the latter.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room now,
Daniel suggests.
Shit. Shit, shit.
No elephant here, I say with an awkward laugh, heading to the kitchen. I can't face this without caffeine. While brewing coffee, I whip myself up a sandwich, keeping the phone between my shoulder and my ear.
Okay, let's leave it for the evening then. Unless you'd rather we talk about it another day.
You wouldn't mind.
You're the birthday girl. Don't want to spoil your day, but I still want my dinner this evening.
Sure. Dinner's on. No conversations about elephants. To be honest, I don't see how a conversation would help anyway. We both had a slip in our control. That was all. No need to beat a dead horse. Do I crave his touch? Miss how safe and cherished it made me feel. Sure, I do. But that doesn't mean I should act on it. Some things are not for me, and Daniel is one of them.
See you at 7. Have fun shopping. Promise me you'll go wild.
Laughing, I try to focus on my sandwich and not the way my pulse skitters. My poor sandwich doesn't stand a chance of distracting me. I will. Lunch with my dad is a rather melancholic affair. We don't talk about Mom, but we both feel her absence. He gives me Niall's present, a cotton throw with a Celtic motif. My brother is the best. Seriously. I told him I was looking for a new throw, something to cozy up with on my couch, and this is beautiful. Niall's outdone himself, I exclaim. By the way, he's coming to San Francisco. I share with him all the details, suggesting we move the opening party to include him.
Of course we'll move the reopening party early. It's good to see that boy.
The weather is pleasantly cool for early October, so we head to Pier 39, carving our way through the flocks of tourists who are watching the seals roast lazily in the sun, talking about the bookstore and Niall, indulging in old memories. After I part ways with Dad, I head straight inside Macy's, more excited than guilty. I go to the nearest vendor, reading the name tag. Allison. Hi, miss. How may I help you? I'm looking for a colleague of yours, Krista. She nods, surveying the floor. Look, she's right there by the cardigans, the blonde with the pink ends. Thanks. I practically fly toward Krista, my excitement now drowning out my guilt completely. She looks up at me as I approach. Hi, Krista. I'm Caroline. Her face breaks into a grin. Yay! Follow me. Wow. You're so lucky. This is so romantic. My goodness, I wish my boyfriend would do something like this, but I'm lucky if he remembers to make dinner reservations for my birthday. Daniel's not my boyfriend, I explain as I follow her up the rolling staircase. Her eyes widen. Then he's trying very hard to be, isn't he? Well, I wouldn't put up much of a fight. You won't either. Wait to see what he got you. Alarm flares inside me. What exactly did Daniel buy me? You know him long? Krista continues. Sorry, not my business. It's just, well, this is so unusual. For about 10 years, I offer her a small smile, choosing to stop there. Up and up we go on the escalator, coming to a halt on the next to the last floor. My eyes scan the information table right next to the staircase. Domestics and lingerie. My knees go weak because I have an inkling of which of the categories Daniel was interested in. Sure enough, 2 minutes later, Krista leads me into the lingerie section. Ah, damn. Everything here looks exquisite. I'm so lost in the delicate and sexy offerings around me that I nearly forget Krista is with me until she shows me 3 sets lying on the wooden table next to the cash register, where vendors usually pack the purchases. Oh, they're beautiful. One is a matching set of red lace panties and a demi-cup bra. The second set is white silk with an embroidered pattern on the strapless bra. The third is black, made of satin and cotton by the looks of it. Daniel chose these for me, I whisper. Personally. Yes, shall I bring them to the changing room for you to try them on? Even though I'm 100% sure they'll fit, I nod. Truth is, I'm dying to try them on. Once she hangs the 3 sets on the hanger, she arranges the curtains so no one can see me from the outside, leaving me alone. I undress at top speed, not bothering to hide my grin as I put on the black set first. I keep my thong on, though, merely sliding the black one over it. It's an ironclad rule. I never try on panties on bare skin. I love what I see in the mirror. The black silk has a subtle elegance. Some would say it's too simple, but I disagree. The way it molds against my skin, the softness of the fabric, every detail is perfect. I try on the white one next. It looks a little subdued against my pale skin, and I decide to get out in the sun as soon as I have the chance. I touch the intricate pattern of the lace on the bra, the ribbon clasp between the cups. With a smile, I remember Daniel much prefers bras with the clasp in front. In a flash, sinful images fill my mind of Daniel unfastening the bra, touching my breasts. I break out in a sweat, then shimmy out of the white set, trying on the last one. I saved the best for last. The red lace is downright sinful perfection. The bra pushes my breasts together. The panties are wider over my hips than regular thongs. At the back, a smooth line covers the crack between my ass cheeks. I much prefer these types of thongs to strings. They give me an air of wicked playfulness. And I was right. Daniel guessed my size correctly, even though I've gone from a size 4 when we were together to a size 8. I'm still not used to the size of my thighs, not to mention my ass. The only positive part of them growing is that they've kept the same proportion to my waistline, which has also expanded. Still, looking at myself right now, I've never felt sexier. The skin on my chest and neck becomes almost as red as the lace, as a flush spreads over that area. I haven't felt this sexy or wanted in a long time. Releasing a shaky laugh, I chastise myself for reading so much into all of this. But then I realize the man bought me lingerie for my birthday. What does this even mean? They fit? Krista's voice reaches me from beyond the curtain. Yeah, perfectly. Quickly, I change back into my own bra, then put on my clothes. When I pull back the curtain, Krista grins at me, taking the 3 sets of lingerie. Excellent. I'll pack these, and then we can go see what else you like. Credit cards open, no limit. Oh, snap. I'd forgotten. This is more than enough. Tisk, tisk, tisk. I have my orders to pester you if you don't go wild. He said that? Exactly like that. So, ready to go wild? Not even close to ready. I get the hang of it quite quickly, though. In the beginning, I exercise every ounce of self-restraint, going for small things, new moon-shaped earrings, a pair of gloves. But Krista is a little devil, tempting me like nobody's business, and I'm a weak woman when it comes to pretty things. She flaunts a knee-length floral dress with white straps and a wide belt around the waist, and I'm a goner. I try it on, and